So, a couple of weeks ago, Christine and I came to a big decision. We talked about it for a little while. We thought about it. We made some plans. And we finally decided we are going to get the latest Nintendo console, the Switch. We are going to do it. It's the first time we've ever really bought like the most current gaming console. But man, we were super excited about what was happening and what we were seeing. We're like, man, these games are like reminding us of our glory days when we were teens. We're like, yes, let's do it. And so we heard casually from Thomas that, oh, the Switches are at the nice Walmart out by the Galluses on Independence Parkway. That's what I call it, the nice Walmart. It's new, so no one knows about it. It's great. And so I'm like, oh yeah, Thomas knows what he's talking about. Let's do this. And so we're all excited. We're pumped. We get there. We find the section for the Switches. They have the boxes up there. We're like, yes, they have them. So we're like going around, grabbing controllers and what games we're going to choose. And finally we're like, grab an employee and say, all right, we're ready. We want to buy a Switch. She goes, oh, yeah, those are like empty boxes. They're just display. We don't have those. What? Really? Because we were really excited. And then instantly Christina's like, yeah, I guess it wasn't meant to be that stupid. We shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, no, we gotta do this. We want this. Let's go for it. Let's go to Target. Let's see if Target has it. Come on. Like, they want to sell these, right? It's been out since May. Like, come on. This isn't a thing. So we go to Target, and we find an employee. And we're like, hey, you guys got any Switches? And the guy kind of, like, almost laughs at me. He's like, no. We don't have those. No, good luck. We're like, huh, maybe my expectation is different from reality. And so we go home, I start to do some internet research and realize there's not a single Switch in Central Florida. Huh, after a few phone calls and like some inventory trackers online, I realize there are none in Central Florida. And I'm like, oh, well, this is interesting. But I'm determined. I want this thing. I am not going to give up or be discouraged. I'm going for it. So every morning now, my schedule is I wake up before the stores open. I open up my laptop, find the inventory trackers. I got like 8 tabs across my computer. I'm refreshing every one. Something pops up. I'm like, calling the store. And they're like, no, that's an error. We haven't updated our stuff yet. I was like, okay, next. No. And every morning for the week, that's what I'm doing. Just calling. No. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Finally, I see one pop up. I learn some things and learn some new tricks. So I'm like, okay. And I see something new pop up. Like, this store just got a new shipment. Okay, let's call. It's Fashion Square and Target. Target's Fashion Square. I'm like, call the guy. Guy picks up. He's like, I just came in. Like, I'm like calling him the moment they open. He's like, the first thing he's probably done is answer this phone. He's like, yeah, I just got here. There's a truck in the... All right, let me check. It looks like we might have 2 on board. Awesome. Can you hold one for me? Ooh, no, I can't do that. It's kind of a first come, first serve. All right, you know what? This is what I'll do for you. I will put one in the display, and I'll lock one behind the counter. I'm like, awesome. He's like, how soon can you be here? 30 minutes. All right, I should have the truck unloaded by then. Perfect. So I zoom over there, get there, find Kevin. The guy's name is Kevin. I'll never forget that. Kevin is my angel. So we get there. I find a guy in electronics. I'm like, are you Kevin? He's like, yes. He's like, I'm like, do you have a Switch for me? He's like, yes. I'm like, yeah. He's like, 4 other people called the moment you hung up. And I was like, woo! And even while I was standing there, he's unlocking the cabinet for my Switch, and I'm like, yeah. Like, people are coming up, ready, like, to buy the Switch. I'm like, suckers. And I finally got it. I surprised Christina. I told her I didn't get it. You know, gotta have some surprises. I was like, oh, no luck this time. She's freaking out a little bit. She's like, well, I saw that there might be some in Waterford Lakes. So I'm like, no, I already called that store. They don't have them. So she comes home, and I'm, like, lying on the bed because you can, like, it's also, like, a handheld console, too, which is pretty sweet. I'm just lying in bed, like, playing the Switch. She's like, is that what I think it is? I'm like, yes, it is. And it was awesome. And so I wanted it. It was my heart's desire, and I pursued it, and I got it. I saw it. I found it. Today, we are going over the pure in heart will see God. And this is the idea we're working with is, I think, for me, I had this idea growing up that pure in heart meant, like, you have to be innocent or perfect or know no evil or something like that. You'll see the unicorn, like, legend. I don't know if anyone's seen that. But it actually, the pure in heart will see God, the idea is single-mindedness. The idea is being committed or focused. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want the switch? Are you willing to pursue? Are you willing to work? Are you willing to give up some stuff? Are you focused? Or are there other distractions coming in? And that is the biggest problem for people in general, just God's people. We've been reading this, like, every day, Adam and I, and I think Christina maybe is stuck with us. We've been reading this story every day, and you realize the biggest problem for God's people is they're not singly minded on God. We get distracted. There's other things that are calling at us, and other things that are grabbing for our attention, and we go for them. And we stop seeing it. So I want to look first at Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2, verse 4. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the southern kingdom of Judah. And we're now in, like, a couple hundred years of, like, solid idolatry within Israel. And God is calling to his people. And he's going, what is happening? What's going on? What has happened? So this is what the Lord says. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruits and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I will bring charges against you again, declares the Lord. I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods, yet they are not gods at all? But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Where have you dug broken cisterns? Where are the areas in your life that you just give and give and they demand more and more and more from you and give less and less and less? Where are those areas that you just think of and you just kind of dread? You just feel it, like there's like anger, anxiety. You've just been giving and giving. You're trying to make it work. You gotta make this work. Where are those areas? Think about that. Go there. Find those areas. Those areas where you just kind of dread, you feel sick a little bit, or you're angry, frustrated. So those are the areas you're not going to see God if you're not taking it to Him. If you're trying to solve them on your own. trying to dig these wells, you're trying to find the water, and you keep digging, and there's no water. There's just more dry earth. You just keep going. Find those areas. Think about them right now. Find them. Because this is where our double-mindedness comes in. This is where we stop to lose focus. Things come up. Problems occur. Storms happen. You freak out. You're like, I'm on my own. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to make it work. Or you're looking to someone else to provide for you. If only they had it together, I wouldn't be in this mess. Or you're looking to a job. I thought this job was going to provide something. It's not providing what you thought it would. Find those areas. Jesus kind of explains these areas in another way. He's like, in using Old Testament language, areas of idolatry where we're looking to other things to provide something that they can't. So if we go to Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of your worrying, any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, or knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are the needs that you are trying to meet without God? And you can recognize those needs because you worry about them. There's anxiety and fear and anger. Recognize those needs. Find those needs. Lord, I ask right now that you bring these needs up to your people. Lead them in there. I want you guys to like go there for a second. Find those needs. Like get there. It's a little awkward and uncomfortable, and you kind of try to not think about them, especially when you're in church. But we all have them. I have them. They're just these blind spots that I'm like, I'm just going to try to figure it out on my own. One of these needs came up for me this week. I started to realize it was tiny. It felt tiny. And so I just didn't think about it. But it's slowly eating away at me. It's my cat. She has diabetes. So it's weird. But she was diagnosed with diabetes 6 months ago. And one of the things, there's several layers there that you kind of have to all of a sudden start taking care of if you want her to live, is you can no longer free feed her, which is probably what gave her diabetes in the first place. But whatever, we were like, she's old, let's just let her get fat and happy. But you all of a sudden have to start portioning out her food a little bit. And you have to portion it throughout the day. And so this all of a sudden means that at 4 in the morning, I'm getting a little bop on my nose, saying, hey, I wake up. I need food. Okay. And so, you know, I learned a little bit. I learned to prep food and just have it ready to go so I can just be like, dump, go back to bed, fall asleep, like, whatever. My schedule is not being too interrupted. This is fine. But slowly, it starts to happen more frequently throughout the night. So at 2 o'clock, pop. 4 o'clock, pop. 6 o'clock, pop. And I'm slowly, my sleep schedule is starting to change a little bit. I am waking up every 2 hours to feed this cat. And I'm not really thinking about it, but it's been since December of last year. So last week, I kind of had like a little meltdown in the kitchen with Christina and was like, I need you to handle some things for me. Because I'm not sleeping. And this is like, what? This is the first time I'm hearing about it. And so, I'm starting to process this. I'm starting to realize, you know what I haven't done? I have not prayed about this at all. I'm trying to meet this need to be the perfect cat owner. It sounds ridiculous. But I'm trying to meet this need in me to be perfect, to do it right. I want to just do it right. I want to be the guy who does it right. We got all the right medication. We got the right food. We're going to do it. I take her to the vet when I should. Like, I'm doing it right. But this need is costing me sleep. And she is more frequently bopping me in the nose. Last week, it happened at 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, I'm like, this is crazy! And I'm realizing all she's doing is like licking up this like little juice from the food. She's not actually eating it. So I'm now throwing away a whole can of food by the morning. Now I'm like angry.
Oh, Lord.
Now I'm angry. And I'm realizing it's all from this stemming from this need of I want to do it right. And I'm realizing I'm not even communicating with her. I'm trying to do it all on my own. I'm trying to meet this need. I'm not looking to God, so I'm not seeing him. And so finally, this week, because I'm doing this, I go, hey, God, I need help. I'm not sleeping. This is a problem. So I do that, and that night, a little bop at 2, and the thought goes through my mind, you are not a bad person if you ignore her. You are allowed to ignore her. And with that thought, I was like, and crashed, and she left me alone. I was like, I didn't think that would happen, but that's awesome. So then at 4:30, she gives me a little bop, and that's fine. I'm ready to do, like, middle of the night. That's fine. Cool. Once, I can do it. 6 o'clock comes around, she's bothering me again, and it all of a sudden occurs to me, out of nowhere, oh, you know who's up at 6 o'clock? Christina. You know who I've never asked once to help me feed the cat? Christina. I'm like, just in my blur of sleep, hey, Christina, could you feed the cat on your way out? Oh, yeah. Oh, it just not even occurred to me. All of a sudden, I ask God, and now all these like simple solutions are occurring to me. The next night, I only woke up at 4:30. I even slept through, which I never do. I slept through Christina getting up and getting ready for bed. I almost always wake up for her and like pray with her, and we're like, "All right, see you later." I slept through it. She took care of the cat. The cat was fine. All of a sudden, this thing that's been slowly taking more and more from me and giving back less and less is all of a sudden starting to be restored. And my sleep patterns this week have all of a sudden been like, oh, cool. I'm cool with getting up at 4:30, dumping some food, and going back to sleep. I can do that. That's all I want. And it's because I finally turned to God and just asked him, Lord, I'm not seeing you in this area because I'm not looking to you. So I want us to think, just in even in those little areas, it doesn't have to be these big areas, but there's little areas. I want us to be a church that can see God in even like the little things. Even just taking care of your pets, managing your house or cars or whatever. Just see God. And the way we do this, the way we get there, is we have to humble ourselves before God. We have to repent and say, Lord, I haven't looked to you in this. I haven't done this. I've been looking to other stuff. I've been trying to do it on my own. Or I did look to you, God, and you didn't do it the way I thought. Thomas said the switches were going to be at Walmart, and they weren't. You said you were going to be there, God, and you weren't. Like, I thought you were supposed to be there. And so you gave up. You stopped looking. Take that anger, take that frustration, take these disappointments, take these needs to God. We go to 1 Peter 5, 6, 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God cares for you. He wants to handle your needs. He wants to walk through all of this with you. He doesn't want you to have to figure it out on your own. He doesn't want you to have to look to someone else to figure it out for you. He's going, I'm right here. You want to see me? Look to me. Invite me into these things. Come after me. My heart is pure. God's heart is pure. And it's for you. God is single-mindedly pursuing you. And he will see you. He was willing to sacrifice everything to take care of your needs. So take them to him, because he actually wants to handle them. All your anxiety, even your anger, he can handle it. If you're angry at him, take it to him. Say, God, I'm angry at you. I feel disappointed. I feel left out. I looked for you and you weren't there. Take that to him. He can handle it. He can handle hearing that. Now there's room for a conversation. Begin to ask, Lord, where are you? And then wait patiently on the Lord for a response. And you will see him. I promise. He promises. His word promises. You will see him. Cast your cares on him. He cares about you. He cares about these little things. So right now, I want you to think about those anxious places. Those places of worry or fear or anger. And I want you to lift them up to God. Take them, whatever they look like, whatever these places look like to you. Take them right now and lift them up to God. Lord, forgive us. We don't look to you all the time. This is our problem. Forgive us. We humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge that we have places, we have cracked cisterns that we are just digging and digging and digging. There's no water. We just lift those up to you, Lord, and we ask, will you fill them? Lord, will you provide the needs? Will you meet those needs that we have? Will Will you sustain us? Do you really care about us? Can you really meet those needs? Are you there? Lord, I hear you say, yes. I made you. I will not abandon you. My heart is pure, and it's for you. I am singly minded, devoted to you. I sacrifice my son for you, because I want to be with you. I want to take care of all your needs. I want to see you. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us.